handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. Okay, Rick, you were talking about your garlic and gardening and how to tell the difference between male and female.
One look and you'll know. Okay, for you single people, you know too. The people in the know will take the males. That's why when you go into a supermarket and you look at the eggplants, you'll find a rather ridiculous preponderance of female eggplants there, because people who know what they're doing skip over those. I mean, they taste the same. It's all good to me. I'll use them interchangeably, but you know, for things like tapenade and stuff, you'd rather use the males. I just checked. I've got 13 of them here I just brought in, and only one of them is a female, which I don't know what to make out of that. It should have been much more of an even mix. That really strikes me as weird. But nonetheless, so we were talking last week about covered crops and bulk seeds, and I didn't mention, and I should have, for that fellow out of Montana, there are a couple companies out there that I think, oh man, the one company is called Green Cover Seed, I thought I memorized that. One is called Seedway, one word, S-E-E-D-W-A-Y. The other is called Green Cover Seed, I think, but these people make a business out of selling certain seeds in large bulk quantities. So whatever could be used as a cover crop, like mustards, turnips, daikon radishes, of course they'll sell other cover crops like sorghum sedan grass, which is not edible. Or clover, which, I mean, not edible really, but a lot of these cover crops can be purchased in bulk and they are edible, like the mustards and radishes and stuff like that. So if you're looking for that sort of thing, that would be the deal. I had brought in some of my celery leaf. And I think I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to mention this one more time, as it's time for me this weekend to go out and get and bring in, go ahead and cut the herbs and bring them in before they freeze and they turn into mush. Also, there is the Chinese pink celery leaves, which are the most pungent celery experience that I have ever had. You know, we chop up celery and put it in things so that supposedly we get some of that celery flavor in there. But honestly, I can't tell you that I have ever really noticed any celery flavor in anything with celery in it. And furthermore, you know, you don't necessarily want chopped up celery. You might want the flavor of celery, but you don't necessarily want chopped up celery in some things. And in those cases, the leaves are really important to me, because you know they basically cook up and you don't know they're there, but that's where all the smell and the flavor is, which, you know, those are the same thing really. This Chinese celery, I'll also be harvesting that along with, there are no real stalks on this stuff. Stalks are no bigger than a pencil, However, I noticed I chewed one up the other day. Oddly, the stalks on these things are just as fragrant as the leaves. And while it does take
all year
to grow this stuff, this is not a crop that you're going to be able to flip your bed. I mean, I planted these things in the spring, and I'm going to get them out now. So that one bed has been tied up the entire year. But it's worth it to me because this stuff is absolutely fragrant. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I had a little piece of it on the counter when my neighbor walked in, and I handed it to him, and I said, "Smell this." And he smelled it, and he goes, "Wow, I've never smelled anything like this." And then when he left, he said, "Can I take this with me?" And I said, "Well, I can do better than that. Let's go down to the garden. I'll get you a bunch of it." His daughter's a real good cook. I think I've mentioned that before. And he's going to take that to her, and they can make great use of that. So, you know, it's that time of the year. Don't let all of your herbs, if you've got them, just go to waste. Go get them. Chickens. I have had profound problems with behavior and chickens. Chickens suffering from boredom because I'm not that exciting. And so they've taken to eating their eggs, and we've talked about this before. I did order and got yesterday, which I have to put together, a nest box with roll-away. It's a roll-away nest box so that when a chicken lays an egg and gets up, it rolls into a place where they can't get to it. So let's see how that works out. The thing was like $250. I mean, it was expensive, but if it solves my problems, I know. If it solves and you have to put it together, it for that price, it should bring the eggs to me. But I guess that's not going to be happening. So I will report to you if this thing. I'm hoping for the price that I paid, it actually does something.
Right.
Now, and I've mentioned this before, now is a great time to compost your gardens up, get that compost out there. Garlic consumption. How much garlic do you think the average American eats per year?
I have no clue, Rick.
I wouldn't have either. 3 pounds per person per year. That seems to me, I don't think that's what's happening. I think a lot of people don't eat any, and then I think a whole bunch of other people are smelly. So I think somebody's eating somebody else's garlic. However, what's at the supermarket is called Silver Skin. That is a production garlic. It is, of all the garlics, it is the least fun. I mean, it's just, it really doesn't have any properties that you would write home about. I mean, yes, it serves the purpose as garlic. You know, if Bud Light is called beer, then that's called garlic. You can do better. Honestly, you can do better. So if you grow your own, you've got thousands of choices you can do. You can do whatever you want. Down in North Georgia, I just heard this, and the reason I want to bring this up is because I didn't know about this. Now, I have recommended, you know, while they're talking about Exxon, our food infrastructure, I'm sure they're not going to limit their nonsense to that infrastructure. We've heard that they're after the energy supply as well. So, you know, we've been cautioned and warned that we'll see blackouts this winter. Which means your TV, your social media, all that stuff is going to be offline. I have said many times, you know, get yourself some decent books, you know, because just walking in circles gets tiring after a while. So there is a set of books out there, which I have a full set, and I do love them. It's called the Foxfire books, and they show you and tell you how to do all of the things that people used to do to get by before there were supermarkets and hardware stores.
You know, and, Rick, that flash drive I sell on the site, it has tons of information like that. You know, it's just incredible. It's in the miscellaneous section. And you're buying close to 6 gigabytes of information, but about a third of that in the miscellaneous section is exactly what you're talking about. You know, how-to stuff.
I live in the miscellaneous section. Everything I say and do comes out of the miscellaneous section. I don't want to pin you down on the air, but I mentioned to you that LDS survival guide is James Wesley Rawls' How to Survive the End of the World as We Know It book on steroids, written by Christopher Parrott out of Utah, I believe. And I think there are a lot of parrots out there. Some of the parrots make some of the finest Target 22 rifles on the planet. I think it's called Voodoo. The Voodoo 22s are outrageous. You're talking about a 22 that can put one hole in the other one repeatedly. That is now. Yeah, I used to pay $17 a book for these things and give them away, but now it's free to download. And that would be, I think, at the Avow website. I've been a member of, I'm not a Mormon, but I've been a member just because I like the information coming out of there. I just found out recently that Avow doesn't mean what I thought it did. It's another voice of warning. That's what it actually is.
Hey, Rick?
Yep.
Sorry to interrupt. I missed the message from our engineer, Sam. We've got two callers.
Go ahead.
All right. Gentlemen, I know you're listening. Let's be concise and to the point. 5-minute limit. Okay. First, we're going to Art in Georgia on line 5. Good morning, Art.
Good morning, gentlemen and lady.
Good morning.
Just real quick on the chicken thing. Something people need to remember, if you're not familiar with chickens, is when you begin getting into the larger breeds, they become a little bit more difficult to handle. They're a little bit more stubborn. And I recently just had to call my entire flock because I just, being disabled, I can no longer chase them around the field to try to get them to go into the pen in the evening to feed them so I can lock them down for their own safety. So if you're like me and you're disabled, you have mobility limits like I do right now. And now I walk with a rollator, which sucks.
I agree, buddy. I got one leg. I know what you're talking about.
Yep. Get smaller birds, and some of the greatest that you could ever get are the silkies or the what they call the you know what I'm talking about when they say the sterlings?
Yeah. We've had those.
Now these are very small birds. Granted, they lay smaller eggs, but they're very easy to handle, and they really cooperate well. So if you have mobility problems like you and I do, for those of you wanting to get into chickens, if you're young and you're strong and you can chase them around the field to get them to go into their pen at night, great. Go with the big, meaty bird. But if you're like we are and you're limited mobility, go with the smaller birds. They're just a lot easier to handle.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
And they're cooler. And you can actually go in the pen with them and they don't freak out.
Yeah. Well, so, thankfully, my daughter lives here on the farm and with her few children and husband. She takes care of the birds along with the grandkids. My granddaughter, this is funny, she's just turned 8 years old. And in the evenings after school, she'll go in the pen to feed the chickens. Well, we had one rooster that would try to flog her every time she went in. Well, Mom told her how to do that, how to take care of that. She's got a feed bucket in her hand. All she's got to do is smack that rooster in the head with the feed bucket, and it leaves her alone. And now it's gotten so it doesn't even bother her.
Yeah, that'll get their attention real quick. My rooster was a blue sapphire gem, and this is an incredibly huge bird. And every hen I dressed out, believe it or not, after they were dressed, gutted everything, anywhere from 8 to 10 pounds per bird. My rooster was almost 15 pounds. So I had really big birds. Also, Seabrights is another small bird.
Yes.
They are beautiful. So, that's just my thoughts on that. Gentlemen, y'all have a great day, and madam, you too.
Thank you, Art. We appreciate it. Next, we go to Dave in New York on line 9. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning. I have a friend, he's sprouting celery in his windows. He, eats a celery stalk and saves the bottom and roots it and then grows it. But so he's been doing a lot of these different things and canning. And I told him I'd ask you this question. He has a tomato plant he grew along a fence and spread it out and trimmed out the suckers. And at first he said he must have got 1,000 tomatoes off it. I said, really? And he said, well, at least 500. And he tells how he goes out and gets 16 and then goes out and gets 20. Is this reasonably possible in your experience?
Yeah. Although it depends on which variety of tomato is it? I mean, if this is a patio tomato, you're going to get at least that. I think if you weighed.
It's growing 6 feet tall, at least on leaning on a fence.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a patio tomato.
Well, it could be because...
It's not a cherry tomato either.
It's what?
Yeah. It's not a cherry tomato, but...
Tomatoes, okay. So if you look at commercial tomato production, those plants inside of a greenhouse, they will get 12, 15 feet tall. And what they do is... the way a tomato plant works is it will have, in the beginning, the tomatoes are at the bottom, and then a foot up, the next tomatoes will be there, and then later, the next tomatoes will be up a foot from there. And so what these people keep doing is, as they harvest the tomatoes, they cut all the foliage off the bottom, and then to get to the top, these things are trained up a string, and they lean and lower, so they lean the plant usually to the right for some reason, and that lowers the plant, and it doesn't break the stem, and then they just keep going all the way up. So yes, it's possible. If your tomato does not get the, normally this is happening inside of a greenhouse, because if you try to grow a plant outside, you're going to have to suffer with viruses and the mold and the mildew, the funguses and the wilt and all that. But inside of a controlled environment, these plants regularly get that big.
And if I can interject one thing. When I was in real estate, I sold a hydroponics greenhouse business and house. And, I think it was like 8 greenhouses, and it was all hydroponics. Rick and Dave, they would have one plant per vat, and those vats were 40 feet long. The stem on one of the tomatoes I looked at would easily go 9 inches across, and the plants were 40 feet long. And, I think it was eight vats per greenhouse, and they were selling...
You call those shrubs or trees?
Well, I don't know, but they were huge. And I know that they were getting up to 250 tomatoes to sell to the grocery stores per plant per day. And I found absolutely amazing. Yeah.
Can I ask one question? What do you cut off after you get the layers of tomatoes at each foot? What did you say you cut off at that point? The leaves?
They were cutting off.
That are down there?
Cutting off all the, just leaving the stem, just all the foliage going up. I mean, and there are people who grow these outside in their gardens, and they routinely will prune because once the tomato plant has the first flush of fruit down low, it won't do that again. The next flush of fruit will be up higher. So every single time they harvest, they take everything off the bottom, leave the stem only, and as the foliage gets higher and higher off the ground, you're reducing the possibility, because most of the disease of wilt and all that comes from splash, from it's a soil-borne issue, and as it rains, that splashes up on the lower foliage, and that is when the plant becomes infected. So there are ways, you can keep that soil covered with copper spray or hay, but removing the foliage at the bottom does the same thing.
Well, that's great information, Tim. I appreciate it. The other thing I wanted to mention about ivermectin, that there was an Argentinian doctor, the first guy to really give out data on the ivermectin. He wasn't the first one to use it. He was on Dr. Mercola's channel, interviewed, and he said that he takes it once a week. It works for 3.5 days, and then you're 3.5 days without it, and then you take it again. And so you never really get sick. And he gives the amounts that he took and uses in that particular interview. So if you get Mercola's feed, his articles are only up for 48 hours after they chased him on the bike and, basically threatened him in some sense. That's why I wanted you to be aware of that. That's a little different than what I've heard is using it every 2 weeks instead using it every week. And I don't know if his dosage is lower there or not.
Well, I will tell you, if you continue to listen, I will go through that ivermectin study out of India. You're probably talking about Dr. Mobeen. Oh, man. I can't remember this guy's last name. They call him
Don't even try.
I know. They call him Dr. Bean, B-E-E-N, I think. I will give you the results of the Indian medical study here in a bit, if I get the chance. It is fascinating to me, absolutely fascinating. The bottom line is that if my math is right, there are 240 prophylactic doses in one tube of horse ivermectin. So I'll give you all
really
that.
Wow. We use so much of it. There's only like six point something doses for a 200-pound horse. I'm a 200-pound horse.
Well, there is. Yeah. That would be me.
It's not going to hurt you.
Okay. Well, the prophylactic dose would be different. Okay. And so I was going to talk about if you've got COVID, you're going to need 1/6 of a tube if you're 200 pounds. But the prophylactic dose is altogether different. And I will give that to you here in just a bit. I've got it all.
Oh, that's very good. I will say that this doctor from Argentina that was on Mercola's interview, he did mention that he actually took the vaccine because he had to fly to some country, and he went and took it. It was surprising. Anyway, thanks a lot.
I will tell you. Well, hold on 2 seconds. I will tell you where to look this up. You're going to love it. It's only about 11 or 12 minute video. It's called The Whiteboard Doctor, and the name of it is Ivermectin and COVID-19 Prevention. It's The Whiteboard Doctor, Ivermectin and COVID-19 Prevention, and it is all about prophylaxis. I'll get into it here in a second, so don't change that dial. Don't change it on your head.
Very good work. I appreciate you following up on and educating us on the details. Thank you.
That's okay. That's all right.
Okay.
Don't change your hair for me. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
don't
we
change
got one more
your,
caller.
Well, oh, we do? All right.
Yeah. We're going to go to Warren in Montana, and Tom did call in, and we're going to take him after the bottom of the hour break to give him his full 10 minutes.
Okay.
Because that's what we promised him. Good morning, Warren.
Yes, we did.
Good morning. Morning.
A couple things I talked to you yesterday about, last week about detoxes. There's another one, clay. Have you ever heard of bentonite clay?
Yep. Yes. Not for a long time.
But we use it to seal up holes in the ponds from the muskrats.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we buy it in 50-pound bags.
Okay, that's a very good detox. Joyce Riley used to have speakers talk about it. Different products, they sold bulk. But you got to be careful if you haven't taken that in a while or taken it for the first time. I've given it to a couple people where they took maybe a size of a deck of cards or a pack of cigarettes, and they took the whole thing. One gal lost 10 pounds in a weekend, and she said, I'm glad I did it when my day's off. She took it too fast. She didn't think it was a big deal. And another guy lost, he said, I probably lost 10 pounds or 20 pounds. But they both took it all at once, and they had not taken it ever before. So it is, they talked about it has a negative charge of some sort. It is absorbent. They use it for cat litter, so if it absorbs that odor, it sure would absorb toxins out of your body. It's cheap and it works. So there's another one I'll tell you next time about wormwood and black walnut tincture. Got to be careful with that too. For parasites, it worked, but that's another story, and we don't have enough time for that. As far as composting goes, this time of year, if you're like me that likes to make something out of nothing, or other people's trash is other people's treasure, guys are raking up their leaves in their yards, and they got stacks of garbage bags of leaves all over this town, and sure everywhere. So if you need leaves for compost, now's the time to get it. It's free, and you can reuse the garbage bags too.
Well, unfortunately here they don't do that. Here they just, everybody just rakes them up and burns them.
Oh, that's too bad. No, they don't.
Yeah, it is.
They don't do that here.
I guess it depends on where you live. But, that's an excellent idea. Absolutely excellent. You know, we've got a livestock barn here. You call them up, they've got so much cow manure from the auctions that they will literally bring you a dump truck load of cow manure and dump it where you want it, and they'll do it for free. And we've had that done several times because they can't get rid of it.
Oh, I see. That's a good deal. Got to get that worked in your area. We have a mink farm out here. Mink are very hard to domesticate, and they're fed very good salmon and cheese, and the manure is hot and it stinks, but if you get it in the fall, put it down, spread it out over the winter, your windows are closed, and in the winter, the snow and stuff will neutralize the odor, and it'll get saturated in the ground just in time for spring, so that's the time to do it. So,
that sounds good, too. Yeah. We got a couple of minks running around here, and if I can ever get a shot at them, they're dead. They'll get chickens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so...
All right, anything else, Warren?
That's it for now. I'll call next week and tell you the other detox. So, anyway, I better let you go. So.
All right. Well, we're coming up on a break, and we do appreciate the call, Warren, very much.
Yeah, no problem. I'm ex-Navy engineer myself. I used to be an engineman.
Oh, wow. I was a yeoman.
Yeah.
But that didn't mean I didn't. In a submarine, you do everything. I drove it. I had sonar watches, radio watches. You know, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I made it around the world. We caught the Iranians laying mines in the act, and we took over their ship and made first time we fired on enemies since Vietnam.
Yeah, I remember that. I'm also officially a member of the Gulf of Sidra Yacht Club. Remember when we took out Gaddafi's small boats, patrol boats? They, by the way, they were taken out with a phalanx. And
I
didn't see it happen, but I did see pictures afterwards.
Oh.
And of course, we heard it on sonar. All right. Well, thank you for your call, Warren. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back in 3 minutes. And Tom from Utah is on the line, and we're going to talk about St. Monica. And when we come back, I got one quick announcement.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Put a spell on you. Because you're mine. Stop the things you do. What's up?
And welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. Thanks, Dan. Okay, we're going to go to Tom.
Say some stuff first, Tori. Yeah, I got to say some stuff first. Tom, hang on. I promise you will have your full 10 minutes, sir. Mike in Kentucky, you go next after Tom. Okay, folks, a couple of quick announcements. One, I've got to thank our sponsors. They do treat us well. The first is Water Revolution. That's Kirk Finney and Kathy Finney at Water Revolution, water-revolution.com. There's a banner on ruralsurvival.life. They don't just have the ReadyPure countertop emergency water filter. They've got whole house water filters, one I've installed here. They've got a device that does something to the ions in the water. But I'll tell you one thing. I noticed the difference in the shower. I don't know if Lori does or not, but the water feels different and it tastes different. Our longtime sponsor is Extendivite. Now, folks, Lori, Rick, and I, all three use this product. It is fantastic. It has helped with my PAD and my one remaining leg tremendously. It has cleared my veins, I guess, or arteries or both, of what is obstructing them. It's opened up my capillaries in my right foot, my only foot, and I no longer have a cold foot constantly. So I am telling you this stuff works. It's $69.95. for a 2-month supply. You can either go to extendivite.com or look it up on Amazon. I think the Amazon shipping is faster. It comes in both liquid and capsule form. I like the liquid. Lori uses the capsules. It's a really good product. Both, you know, we don't take sponsors from anything we don't ourselves use. But please, folks, go to ruralsurvival.com. Like, take a look at the stuff. Also, we've got plenty of the mosquito netting mask in stock. I don't know how long we're going to keep this going. Our orders have dropped tremendously, but we do have bunches of orders sometimes when they're mentioned on other shows, like the Hagman Report and Mike Adams Health Ranger show. So people like them. I like mine. I use mine every time I go to the doctor. Nobody ever says a word. Okay, with all that said, please take a look at ruralsurvival.life, folks. And now we're going to go to Tom. It is 11:37, and you have until the next break, Tom.
Hi there, Tim and Lori.
Hi.
Now, is Rick on or is he gone?
And Rick.
Of course.
Okay, good.
Rick is here.
The reason I'm asking about Rick is because I'm operating on memory, so there's some of the details on Monica. Rick may be able to fill in, but...
Well, I'd have to put my wife on the phone for that, yeah. She will have the details.
Well, I became familiar with this wonderful woman. I call her wonderful because of, the descriptions of life. Of course, people in the community in California ought to be familiar with her, and I tried to make them familiar with her when I was asked by the film industry to come down to Santa Monica when the city council was trying to put fluoride into their water.
Well, Tom, hold on. So the word Santa means saint, so everybody knows. It means Saint Monica. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. And if you're in Santa Monica, you need to go to the park at the end of the, Broadway and Santa Monica Boulevard. On the, in the Palisade, they have a park, and there's this beautiful statue of a really beautiful lady looking back into the city. And that's Saint Monica. Anyway, I reminded the people they needed to understand her and respect the reason of their city's name. But anyway, Santa Monica, or Saint Monica, she lived in the 3rd century, and she was plagued with a husband who was adulterous. I think her marriage was arranged. Is that correct, Rick? You know about that. Anyway, she was married to this...
I will check on that momentarily. Go right ahead.
Yeah, she was married to this man. He was an adulterous man. It broke her heart. She had this son. The son tended to walk in the footsteps of his father. In fact, he left home and went to Rome. And out of her heartbreak, Santa Monica followed him to Rome, trying to locate him. He kind of just disappeared into the houses of ill repute and alcohol, you know, the bars, taverns. So she would be found often in the cathedrals, wherever she was, on her knees in prayer. And of course, her face awash in tears and praying for her son. And he left Rome and went to Milan. She followed him to Milan and finally made contact with him there. But it was interesting because she was found in a cathedral and she was given counsel by a priest, said, the son whose tears, the son for whom these tears are shed will never be lost. And what happened ultimately is, who is her son? Augustine, St. Augustine, who became the kind of the scriptorian and librarian for the Vatican, for the Pope.
St. Augustine, another, and look at all those prayers. Not lost? No, not lost. The man became a saint, although he was quite the usurper in the beginning. Yeah, she prayed her butt off for that guy.
Yeah, you talk about an example of repentance. Augustine was that. But he wrote many many words honoring his mother for that dedicated effort that she, you know, exhibited for him. The nice thing about her was she was, not only was she prayerful for her son, but she was also noted for being a very kind, charitable, very loving woman. I mean, when I say loving, she's loving to humanity and to creation. She was very kind. What's interesting, the community of Santa Monica, oh, by the way, I don't know if you want to hear this, she was not only kind to human beings, she was kind to the creatures. And she was a bit... she was a vegetarian. Anyway, what's interesting, the connection between her and the city of Santa Monica, the sailors on the ocean would pull into the port of Los Angeles, and they would be looking for clean, sweet water to restock their barrels and to drink themselves. There is a spring in the area of Santa Monica. And so the sailors would come up to this spring that's a spring of pure water. They called it Santa Monica's, or St. Monica's Springs. So as a consequence, the city of Santa Monica was named after that spring, named in honor of the woman whose tears brought purity.
Wow.
And so when I was asked by the film industry friends, come down and help them fight for their desire to keep the water of Santa Monica pure, I shared with the city council the story of St. Monica and said they need to, you know, honor her and live her example in keeping the waters of Santa Monica pure. And anyway, so at least for 5 years, I would go down every year to deal with this, the city council, and explain to them the story of St. Monica and make sure that they acted in honor of her.
Wow.
Well, there is absolutely no question that, and as I think I said last week, these stories of the saints, you know, if you really think about even just our country, you know, so I live on the outskirts of St. Louis, and if you there's St. Augustine, Florida, which it would be, of course, her son. There are so many. Los Angeles, the city of the angels. This used to be a Christian nation. We have seen the nonstop erosion of that at the hands of bad people. And unfortunately, with the dumbing down of youth and the lack of interest in teaching youth things of this nature on the part of, I'd say, the hippies, the boomers, have not done their job, have not extended their, they haven't taken responsibility for moral education of their offspring. And now, because of that, we've got all kinds of problems. And I just doubt that we're going to revert. We're not going to go back to those days unless something absolutely insane happens. But anyway,
there has to be a lot of tears and prayers.
Yep.
Because she was changing the course of an adulterous, an alcoholic young son.
Yeah.
That was accomplished through her dedication and her efforts.
Well, I find a great similarity between her and Jesus' mother Mary.
Right.
They both suffered terribly, but they were both extraordinary people. And I must say, and I've said this before, and I will say it again every time I get the chance, I have never seen anybody as patient, as present, and as charitable as Mary. I can't say that I've had any gigantic contact with Jesus or anybody, but I have been in Mary's presence 4 or 5 times, and it was different every single time. And but you talk about kindness and charity, treated me just like a son, and that's something you don't forget.
Well, you know, if we're going to make it through this mess, I think we need to rely on the advice given in the Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's one that's key to me. Now, that was key to Santa Monica, or Saint Monica.
Yeah.
She was merciful.
I find the same true of Mary. Very merciful people.
Right. Anyway, that just to give you a little background, the reason I was down there in Santa Monica is because some of the film people had learned of my efforts with some of their friends. In fact, I don't know if you know, William Shatner was one of my students. And look what it did for him. He got to make it to 90 and take a fight, at least allegedly. You know,
yeah,
you know,
I believe I'd have taken a pass. I'd have taken a pass on that one. Yeah, sure.
Well, it's kind of interesting. What is the biggest sins of Santa Monica and the film industry people? Adultery and alcohol.
Well,
I should remember
drugs. Oh yeah, you probably left off drugs and pedophilia. But okay, sure.
Yeah,
it's that. What, and by the way, what aren't they doing out there? What abomination, what horrible thing can a person do that they're not just totally enamored with? Anyway, we don't want to get into that, though.
And not only that, they
if we had more time, we would.
Yeah. Anyway, I appreciate the opportunity. It was kind of nice. I got to kind of reflect on her while I was thinking about this. We really need to become like Saint Monica, become charitable, kind, and dedicated to the Lord, as she was. And then, oh, by the way, she had the prevention from COVID. She was living a life where she would never have to worry about a pathogen coming to her. That is the side benefit of living that Christian life. By the way, what did Christ tell his apostles and his followers to do? To pray for and lay hands upon the head of the sick in his name. How do you do that without violating social distancing? So what does God know? What does Christ know? And quite frankly, what does Santa Monica know? Saint Monica know about the diseases? You can't get them by lovingly caring for the sick. And that is a fact. Pathogens do not survive.
Well, wearing a mask and standing 6 feet apart is not about disease. It's about keeping your mouth shut. But please continue.
Yeah. Yeah. See, God knows. His son knows. Saint Monica maybe intuitively knew. You can't get sick by caring for the ill. Viruses, well, the thing they call a virus, the pathogens that express the quality particle called the virus do not survive in the sunshine, the oxygen, or in the cosmic energy of the universe. They have to all be shielded within the fat, flesh, and blood of a creature. And as long as you don't infuse that material, you will not experience that infection or that disease. That's why St. Monica lived the way she lived. She maybe didn't understand the science, but the Lord did.
All right.
Anyway,
Tom,
it's a tough lesson.
I hate to interrupt you, but we've got to let you go. We got one more caller on the line. We actually gave you 12 minutes.
Okay.
But thank you. Thank you. That was very good. And it was worth every minute of it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, next we're going to Mike in Kentucky on line 9. Good morning, Mike.
Well, I kind of hate to be the one to cut him off, but I've had hours-long conversation with Tom, the vegan cowboy, as he's known. And he's got a lot of information up on his various web pages if people want to go look for it, Gassing America and Vegan Cowboy. I don't know. You can search for him and find him. But there is somebody that's using that name now, the Vegan Cowboy, on Facebook, so that's not the same guy. But tell me again, what forum is it that you have to log in? I'm looking, we can't find it. The How to Survive, the End of the World as We Know It, who was it that was talking about that?
No, that's, get that off Amazon. That's James Wesley Rawls. That's like a $12 book. You would go to I wish I had written this down. It would be about AVOW or...
Are you saying B as in boy?
Nope, V as in Victor.
Okay, AVOW.
A voice of warning, another voice of warning. Or go to the Latter-day Saints and look for their LDS preparedness manual. Free to download.
LDS preparedness manual, okay.
Yeah, it's huge. It's like 200...
It's excellent.
280 pages, but it's... You can see it follows Rawls' work. It's just much expanded. A lot more information.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're chopping. Your phone got all choppy at the same time as you're trying to give this, so it made it hard for me. But I think we found it, so great. We just needed that AVOW and LDS survival manual. Okay, we were looking for the wrong thing. I found a copy of that other one for $2 or something. So
It's worth more than that.
Oh, no kidding. And hard copies.
Yeah, it's my favorite book.
It makes only good sense to have a hard copy if you're trying to be able to consult that when the power grid is down. And your dream has helped provoke some more awareness of this, I think. Your dream of a few weeks ago that was very vivid when cluster of earthquakes started happening on the Canary Islands. That is still a possibility. Well, it pretty much always will be until it happens.
Right.
There's
$650 wood. I'm still waiting in the power shortage. With us giving away all the LP, I'm waiting for the $650 wood dream. I don't think that's over.
Well, listen, the other reason I called on the chicken thing is they actually sell chicken toys, but for some reason our chickens love peck those stupid AOL, American Online Discs, or these, if you've got an old CD-ROM or whatever that's no good anymore.
They love
to peck at shiny pans and things like that. You hang them, just above there where they have to peck up at them, or for your, smaller chicks. And that gives them something to play with and peck at.
Well, I've got some old Dixie chick CDs I could probably hang out there.
Oh, no. Send those to me. They're collector's items. I get requests on my country music video show for the Dixie Chicks.
Oh, my.
And I get my harmonica out and play, "Here's the Dixie Chicks," and I play the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, my request.
All right, well. All right.
I'm not calling them the chicks.
Okay, well. I was making an anti-American joke, but I get it. Okay.
I know. I'm kidding with
country
you.
Country people love their stars. They really do. Forgive them. They'll forgive them anything.
I don't know. It's just, I mean, the whole, I don't know. It's just, you can't, there's a never, ending I'm offended group, you know, right, to find nitpicky things. And, you know, there's a saying, I can't remember who said it, but he who dares not to offend cannot be honest. I can't remember who said that, Franklin or Adams or somebody, but that makes perfect sense. If you dare not to offend. Excuse me?
That was Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton said that.
He plagiarized somebody else. Somebody else he plagiarized before him. It goes way on back. But, yeah, he was named after Jefferson. I mean, William Jefferson Clinton. People called him William Blythe Clinton. But, yeah, he, you know, Rhodes Scholar and all that stuff. And people talk about Anderson Cooper like he's somebody great. I guess if you looked into Walter Cronkite and Gloria Steinem and their weird occult connections to some of these oddball, I don't know, just like the wall art that people put on the wall.
Being a Rhodes Scholar doesn't necessarily help you with a lot. That is to say, Kris Kristofferson is a Rhodes Scholar who became a singer, and he can't sing. So, what is this?
I don't know. He made a lot of money for somebody who can't sing. He's got that pitiful sounding voice. You know, he does.
It's pitiful sounding,
Christian. I don't know if he's Christian or not, but some of his songs are kind of inspirational. Why Me, Lord?
I did not know that.
Huh?
What song?
Why Me, Lord by Kris Kristofferson. Why Me, Lord?
I have not. Nope, I haven't.
Yeah, look that one up, and that's the other thing I was going to mention is when it comes to Rome and looking back at Saint whoever, you have to consider in context the whole society was steeped in paganism. I mean, Paul, I think at one point he went into this town and they asked him which of the gods he was going to worship, and he pointed to the sign outside of town. He said, I'm worshiping the unknown god, the one that you have out here that nobody in this town knows. It was a generic sign for the unknown god just to cover their bases. Sure. And in 363 A.D., if nobody's familiar with it, get on Fish Eaters and look at the story behind Julian the Apostate. To me, that really points to a lot of fulfillment because there's all these signs and wonders that happened when he tried to rebuild the temple with some remnant at that point, you know, nobody was alive that had any claim to the priesthood, I think, because of the destruction of 70 A.D. by the beast, Nero.
Yeah.
And there was not one stone left upon another. I mean, these guys toppled everything because they wanted to destroy, very satanically destroy, Jerusalem. And what happened in 79 A.D., Pompeii gets buried. All the elite bathhouse, upper crust Romans buried.
Whoops.
We are out of time.
Oh.
And sorry about that, Mike. Call back
that's
next
okay.
week, buddy. Call early.
All right. I got what I wanted.
Rick and Lori.
Right.
Guys, we don't have time for anything.
Go ahead.
I'll do, you know, we got to wrap it up, folks. Same time, same channel next week. Please pray for us because we're praying for you. And prayer works. And I'm here to testify to that. Goodbye, folks.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.